So this morning's scripture reading comes from the Psalms, and it's chapter 16, and we will read the whole psalm. It will be on the screen behind me, but feel free to follow it in your Bible if that's helpful for you. Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. I say of the holy people who are in the land, they are the noble ones in whom is all my delight. Those who run after other gods will suffer more and more. I will not pour out libations of blood to such gods or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you are alone. You alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure. Because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful ones see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand.
Thank you, Michael, and for some lovely graphics along the way, what you do so wonderfully well, and certainly to my help as well. Dear friends, welcome to all, and especially again to those who are visiting. I picked up a little while ago this lovely little booklet and recommend it to you by John Lennox, Where is God in a Coronavirus World? And he makes the point there, I just want to read a little bit, as he speaks about feeling vulnerable and what's happened since COVID has hit. Never before have we experienced the lockdown of cities and even countries, the closing of borders, the banning of travel, the shutting of all but essential services, the banning of large sports gatherings, and the silent towns and cities that shout of fear and self-isolation. One major effect is the universal increased feeling of increased vulnerability. Many of us had got used to a fairly stable world where life was reasonably predictable, but now that all appears to be crumbling away. The things we have always counted on have gone, and we are exposed as never before to forces way outside our control. And friends, I think he's hit the nail on the head. And that's why Psalm 16 is so very, very important. In this psalm written by David, he was going through a very tough time. He was being hunted by King Saul, and every day could be his last. He needed security, he needed safety, and the big question is, where am I going to find it? And he answers that in the very opening verse. As he opens this psalm, and as the psalms occasionally do, they give you the whole thing in verse 1. Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. And that's why I think Psalm 16 is essential reading, and particularly for a time such as this. It shows us how a man like David, going through times of trauma and trouble, not knowing what the future would hold, can actually feel safe and secure. And as we'll see, not just for this life, but for the life to come. Psalm 16 is all about eternal security. And in this psalm, he opens that up, helps us understand how it works and what it means for us. And it all starts with faith. Now, I picked up a pizza, or we picked up a pizza the other day, and on the box, on the front of the box, I found a very profound statement. The pizza box said, everybody should believe in something. And I agree with that, because I think that's how we're wired. Everybody should agree in something, should believe in something. And then it went on and said, I believe I should have another slice of pizza. Well, I'm not so sure about that. But that indication about how we're wired and how faith is central to humanity is actually what David picks up. And when he talks about faith, he's not talking about what's on the front of the pizza box. He's talking about a personal, particular, and passionate relationship. And this is how he puts it. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. And that little word my is critical. Apart from you, I have no good thing. So this is the faith that gives us security. And that word my is crucial because it speaks of a relationship. If I was to say to you, Rolanda is a wife, that's a statement of fact. She is a married woman, and we all know that. When I say she is my wife, that changes everything. That means we're in a relationship, and it's a close and personal and particular relationship. And it's the same with our church. If I was to say Riverbank is a church, we all know that. But when we say Riverbank is my church, what we're saying is, this is my church family. I love these people. I pray with these people. I meet with these people. I want to encourage these people, and they encourage me. Can you see how that little word changes everything and how it speaks of a personal relationship? And that's what David is saying here. We don't have all the words on the screen, but he's saying the Lord is not just up there, out there somewhere. He's mine. He's come to me in grace, and I've responded with a life that actually shows it. I love him, and I love his people. And notice how he speaks of his love for the Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. This is an amazing confession of faith. This man is sold out. He's besotted. The Lord means everything to him. Whatever treasures he has and would have in the future, these things were nothing. They were a trifle compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing the Lord as his God, because he was the treasure above all treasure, any treasure that this world can offer. And he goes on from here. The words won't appear on the screen, but if you have your Bibles open, you can pick it up. He says here, the Lord is my portion and my cup. He goes on to speak of boundary lines that fall in pleasant places and a delightful inheritance. Now, what's that all about? Well, he's using typical Old Testament language, speaking of the land of Canaan, which the Lord God gave to his people, that land flowing with milk and honey, where they moved in. And under his blessing, life was good because God had been good and gracious to them. That's what David is reflecting here. But of course, we're not in the Old Testament. But I do want to ask you, what's your portion? What fills your cup? The boundary lines in your life, where do they fall? What's your inheritance? That which you delight in? And we know that the answer to these questions can only land in one of two places. It's either in this world, or it's in the God who made it. We either have all of this stuff from creation, or we get it from the Creator. And you know where David is heading, and that's where he's finding his security. Now, I'm going to take his words, and I'm going to transport them into the New Testament, and I'm going to then use the words of Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 1, question and answer 1, and some of us who were here last week might recall it. Andrew brought it to our attention, and it's the same language. Personal relationship, deep commitment that is fueled by the grace of God which has come to us in his mercy. The question is asked, what's your only comfort in life and in death? In other words, where do you find your security? From the front of a pizza box? Or is it somewhere else? I belong, the believer says, body and soul to my faithful Saviour, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood. Michael has helpfully reminded us of that this morning. He has set us free from the tyranny of the devil. He watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. Dear friends, that is the faith of Psalm 16. And that faith will give you security. And I urge this upon you, because apart from that, what your heart longs for and what your life needs, you won't find. Please make these words yours if you haven't already, because there you have eternal security, the only security, because it comes through faith in Jesus the Lord. But there's more. There's also a focus. We know that David was a man who had many troubles. Now, let's be honest. Some of them he brought on himself, but others just came his way in the providence of God, and this is one example of that. He had to face many questions, many issues, many problems, and we need to ask, how did he keep going? What was his secret? Why did he keep on keeping on? And the answer is because he had a particular focus. And he says it in verse 8, and I must just mention great work Michael's done on this. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. That was his focus. And you can see here that he didn't just drift through life. He had a particular direction. And the focus was not on himself, and the focus was not on this world, and the focus was not just on his problems. And what's so important about this is that this focus was not just David's. This was Jesus' focus as well. And if we were to step into the New Testament, into the book of Acts chapter 2, where Peter preaches his Pentecost speech, after the Holy Spirit has been poured out, he takes these words of Psalm 16 and applies them directly to Jesus. It's saying here, this is how Jesus lived his life. And as we think of him, and as we think of the cross, surely, friends, if ever a man knows how hard life in this world can be, it would have to be Jesus. If anyone has ever experienced a time when the foundations are crumbling, when his world fell apart, when all hell broke loose, it would have to be Jesus on the cross of Calvary. Where was his focus? It was on God his Father. Jesus kept his eyes always on the Lord. And with him at his right hand, he was not shaken. And that's an important word for us in a fast-paced, changing, and troubled world. How do you do this? Friends, how do you keep your eyes always on the Lord? When tomorrow you may go back to work, and perhaps you're not looking forward to it. It may be a workplace where the language is coarse and the jokes are smutty, It may be that you have no work to go to and you wish you did. It may be something else. It may be a mountain of washing. It may be that tomorrow will be the same as today. You battle with depression. You're dealing with a cancer or a Parkinson's or a something that's not going to get better and won't go away. How do you do life like this? Well, we must keep the eyes of our heart, fixed on Jesus. We must set our mind on the things above. We must speak the gospel to our own hearts. The very things that were mentioned to us, that were prayed earlier in our service. The sure knowledge that our sin has been forgiven by grace through faith in Christ. The understanding that God has declared us righteous, that we have the Holy Spirit within as a seal and deposit guaranteeing what is to come. And if that is true, can you ever be condemned? Will there ever be a day that is not worth living? Can we ever be separated from the love of God in Christ Jesus? Don't we have his promise that however hard, bad and difficult life may be, that he will turn it to good in his own good time? Don't we know that Jesus is coming back and that he is bringing in a perfect world? These are the things that we must focus on. And when we have that, and we have our Saviour living within, we have security. Eternal security, because we have a focus that takes us above a troubled world and into the next. We see what can't be seen with the eye, the naked human eye. And that's the encouragement. Friends, focus on him, on Jesus, of whom these words speak. So there's faith. And there's focus, but there's something else. David lived looking forward. And I want to go through some of these verses. They are critical. Therefore, David said, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. Friends, do you see what's going on here? David can stare death in the face and he's not afraid. He's secure. But we do need to check out this. Because you see, David's body did die and did decay. Just like mine will and yours will if we are buried before Jesus returns. Now, did David get it wrong? And the answer is no. Because once again, this psalm is pointing ahead to, prophesying about, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. His body would be placed in a grave. His body wouldn't decay. And why? Why is it that Jesus' dead body didn't decay when mine will and yours will too? Why? Because on the cross, he killed death before death could get to him. And when it did, it no longer had the power it's got with us. And that is the difference. Because after 3 days, he rose again, he told the world, and we read about it in the Bible, we know that Jesus did not get overcome by death, he overcame it. And that's what Psalm 16 is saying. And it's there to infuse us with hope. And he says more. He goes on as he looks forward to the next life. He's not talking about life here now, but he's saying, you make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. He was going through dark, difficult days, but he was absolutely convinced the best is yet to come. And he lived and he died in that sure knowledge. David didn't know when. He didn't know how. He couldn't explain the details. He just knew that it was going to happen. And if he could do that, as a man living in the shadows of the Old Testament, how much more can't we? We who know Jesus, who has died and risen and rules and will one day return. And I find this so, so hopeful, so encouraging, that when we die, we are not abandoned. If you were there at the graveside with Willie Power's funeral the week before last, you may have seen me have a talk with the children, as I like to do when children are there. I have a pack of seeds, and I use a lesson that Jesus taught us in John 12 about the seed that must be planted in the ground to die. Because if it's not, if the seed is left in the packet, if the seed is left in the shed, it'll never do anything. It's got to be planted in the ground, and when it dies and comes up, it produces a beautiful flower which looks nothing like the seed it came from. And I have this seed packet and I show the kids, and again the adults talk to me about that later. Because that's what happens for the believer in Christ. That terrible place where you see the casket going down and you hear the thud as it hits the bottom of the grave. That's going to become a garden of grace. And the people of the Lord Jesus Christ will spring forth with brand new bodies, and we will be resurrected. And that is only part of what David is saying here, because he goes on and he speaks of the new world that's coming when Jesus returns. And I don't have the words for that. I can tell you what it's not. There won't be death, there won't be mourning, there won't be crying, there won't be pain. We know what's not going to be there. We just can't grasp what is going to be there, because our minds are too small. We get glimpses, we get tastes, we get feelings, but oh, when that day comes, it will blow your mind. I can't wait, but we're not there yet. And dear friends, I can only imagine the wonder and the blessing and the glory of that. But here's the challenge. Is that what you're looking forward to? Dear friends, do you live as if this world is all there is, and this life is the only one you've got? It's not. There's a better world coming. There's a life beyond this one. And if you want to live, truly live, then you must live looking forward. Because this world and the things in it will disappoint you. If you live looking forward, you know that the best is yet to come. And so, friends, if I ask the question, do you want security? I think all of us would say yes. And even for people who don't go to church, we want security. We find it hard to live in a world where the foundations crumble, where life is not like what we were used to, where everything's different. And so much more is difficult. We find that hard. We want security. That's how we're wired. And that's why Psalm 16 is so very, very important. Let's take it to heart as it speaks of faith and focus and living looking forward. And in the end, it all comes down to this. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. And all God's people said, Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord, our God and Father, open our hearts to these truths. Remind us of them. Encourage us with them. Change us by them. Remind us that you have given us every spiritual blessing we have in Christ, everything we need for life and godliness, everything necessary for body and soul. It comes to us as a gift from your own hand. So free us to live that way and grant us a contentment and security of heart so that we will live good lives, godly lives among our neighbours and make the gospel beautiful and believable. Help us to live in the light of eternity and to fix the eyes of our heart on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For he endured the cross, he scorned its shame, and he has blazed a trail to safety. Let us hear his call to follow him. Let us place our hand in his, because we know that with him at our side, the path forward is safe. Show us how to live. How to live faithfully. How to live expectantly. Until the day Jesus returns to finish making all things new. And day by day, fill us with the beauty of Jesus. Grant us a daily supply of your mercy and your grace, which is all sufficient. And as we look forward in faith, fill us with joy and peace as we trust in you. Grant endurance, encouragement, and hope, because you are the God of endurance, encouragement, and hope. And to you, our God, the one who is able to keep us from falling and present us before your glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please stand. Let's sing.